Okay, let us pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much on this first Sunday morning or afternoon, a celebration of or just your resurrection day. And to, Lord, just offer to you this worship as a dedication, as a consecration unto you, our whole year of everything that we'll do in our life and our ministry. And Lord God, so we want to ask you to be with us. Thank you for being with us, for where two or three come together in my name. There I am in the midst of them, as you said. So, Lord, we thank you that you are here. And we're privileged to know that we are united with Christ enthroned in the heavenlies before your holy of holy. So, Lord God, would you bless us just with the awareness that we are always before your presence and that we can behold you. So we thank you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay. Whoa. This computer is right in front of my face here, so I can't see you guys way out there. So, but anyway, so is this the ugly place? I guess it's okay. Properly, okay. Okay, so I apologize for those of you behind the computer. How many of you are excited that this is the first Lord's Day of the year? Woo! Praise the Lord. So this is a consecration worship day, just to dedicate the whole year unto the Lord. And I am thankful for being the speaker in a long time, because normally on the New Year's or the first Sunday, Pastor Johnny used to come from Korea. You remember that? So he used to live in Korea, and so he would come for Christmas and the New Year, and so because he's a special person, so I give him that first week of speaking. And but now he's here. He's doing church here, so he's not much of a special speaker. even though it's special. So I'm thankful that I get to now preach to my congregation in the first week of the year. I want to welcome Steve, pastor of, Nasong Church, youth pastor, the new youth pastor after Mike. There was a guy named Mike. He was part of our ministry, but he moved on. And so you're following up on his ministry, and so now God has given it to you, the ministry. So may the Lord bless you. So please do pray for Pastor Steve as he ministers to the Nasong young adults. So another thanks is we are supposed to be about a few weeks to a month away from being clear to move in. So that's still a question mark, but then once we settle all the planting and cleaning up, and there's a few things that the constructors had to do, and so they did it. So we're waiting for one clearance in. What my dad did about 2009 is that he made a request for some kind of sewage construction, but then he didn't follow through, so it's still pending. And they said we need to clear that up before we could go forth. And so that we're waiting for that. So hopefully that gets through, and then the inspector comes again. And by the time we need to move all the dirt in the front and plant all the plants thoroughly. So thanks for helping those of you who've been moving dirt. Yesterday, who is it? Bing Chin and Kevin. They rolled 8 barrels of dirt into the church bin. The church is not using their bin much these days, so they gave us permission. to put a certain amount. We put in as much as our conscience would kind of like free us, you know. So was it 8 barrels? Yeah, that's kind of heavy enough. So that's what we did. Okay, so with that, let us go forward in our message for the year. And I was thinking of something different and special, but as I thought about some passages that I wanted to share on, actually the first topic came in my mind was, I think I like to encourage our church and myself in the spirit of excellence. So I thought of some passages, and as I thought of the passage, wait a minute, this is actually related to Christ's character. And one of Christ's characters is Christ's excellence. So we can continue the focus on being conformed to the image of Christ. We've talked about servanthood, Christ's zeal, Christ's compassion, Christ's self-emptying, and Christ. Today is Christ's excellence. I guess this character of excellence, or even spirit of excellence, was instilled in me during the early staff training of my life with the Navigators. So remember, I was in the ministry at USC, and I had a little bit of kind of teaching about being excellent. But once I went to Korean Navigators, these brothers and sisters, their standard of doing everything in their ministry is just excellent. So when you gather for a team meeting, you want to be wholehearted and excellent. When you are taking notes, you want to be excellent. You want to be listening excellently. And even when they're cleaning up the hoegan, you know, the center, everybody has a little responsibility. One person has a responsibility of cleaning the name, the Navigator, in front of the hoegan. And so they would want to do that excellently, cleaning every corner of it. So every attitude and their heart posture is they just want to do things excellently. And so that rubbed off on me to the point where I said, wow, I really want to live excellently. I want to do everything excellently. And so when I came back, I just felt like I think I could take any job and be able to survive. The posture that I learned of excellence in the Navigators gave me just a resolve and a conviction that I want to be excellent. So there was a certain, I wouldn't say cockiness, but it's just the confidence that God gave. And that kind of course, you know, was applied to the ministry. But now I got loosened up and I've lost my spirit of excellence. If you look at my car, it's just a mess. So I myself need a re-teaching of this message. I need a new revived spirit of excellence. And as we go into the new year, I would like to encourage our church with that spirit of excellence. Amen? So that's my hope for us for the 2021. And I would say the passage we read, we are going to go through several passages that has the theme of excellence. In 2 Peter 1, 2 and 3, it says, "Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of the Lord, of Jesus our Lord, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence." So God's call for us to truly know him is by his glory and his excellence. So God is excellent, Christ is excellent. And Peter is preaching to kind of church diaspora, even I think in 1 Peter 1:1 says, certain areas of the people among the aliens. So it's both Jewish people who are spread abroad, but including the aliens, because that's alien territory, foreigners, Gentile territory. So to them, Peter is encouraging them to come to a true knowledge of him who calls us by his own glory and excellence. So if that is something Peter is hoping for his people, that's what I'm hoping for us. Well, just to briefly define excellence. Excellence defined in Wikipedia, I guess. You know, you type in some word and, you know, Wikipedia comes out the most, but I think it's okay. You know, it's not too, like, off. The quality of being outstanding or extremely good. So being excellent is the word excel beyond a certain point. So something that's like outstanding, you know, quality that's outstanding and extremely good, not just good, but extremely good. Archaic, they said, the definition is an outstanding feature or quality. So if we apply this to Christ's excellence, Christ is saying that Christ's character is outstanding. He has an outstanding character. And not only that, anything he does is outstanding. So, we look at 1 Peter, 2 Peter 1, 5, and 7. In the commands, after talking about, you know, how his divine power has given us life and godliness, the knowledge of God and the precious promises of God. And then it goes on and says, now for these reasons, apply all diligence in your faith, apply moral excellence. And it just goes on and on and on, right? So Peter talks about God and Christ's excellence, and then he commands his people, apply all diligence. To your faith, supply moral excellence. So this is a very clear calling that we are to take after. God's excellent, Christ's excellent. And then that should reflect in our lives. So you can just kind of imagine, we are where we are. How do we tend to live our life? You know, as I want, as I prefer, I'm okay with this, not so being excellent. I'm okay with that. I'm a little more excellent in that. So it's good. We are called to freedom so we can live life in our freedom, but still, we are called to be like Christ in his excellence. Amen? So with that introduced, I would like to give us not five hopes. I started out with five hopes. But it increased to, you corrected it, seven of them. I initially put five hopes. And then after I finished, I said, wait a minute, I think I want to add a few more. So without further ado, let's go on. This is less about what excellence is, but more of how we can take on excellence. So these are seven hopes that I would hope for us, our White Harvest Evangelical Church in 2021. I accidentally said to someone 2001. Wait a minute, I'm missing 20 years. It's not 2001, it's 2000, not even 2011, it's 2021. So this is my seven hope for our WEC Church. First is, may you rest in his most excellent hope. May you rest in his most excellent hope, and that is putting your hope in the Lord. Hope in the Lord. There's many things you could put your hope on, life, and you could be disappointed, or you could be encouraged by those hopes. But those are not the excellent hope, if it's apart from the Lord. And I said this on New Year's Eve, right? One thing I wanted to encourage you along with the staff, my passage was Isaiah 40:31, and I said, What I hope is that our church and each of you would really be flying like an eagle. Fly like an eagle. It says, putting out your wings like an eagle, you will run and not grow weary, and you will walk and not grow faint. And of course, we're not talking about physical strength, because prior to this, go to Isaiah 40. Isaiah 40 at the end of the passage. It says in verse 30, though youth grow weary and tired, vigorous young men stumble badly. So physically, you know, you could be very young and vigorous, but you could grow tired, weary, and stumble. How many of you gone to like a mall with your sister or with your wife or with anybody? I did it when I was in junior high school, you know, and I just kind of noticed whenever I go to mall, I just get really tired. You know, it's walking around, granted, but just looking around and seeing things, you just get drained. And I'm a young junior high schooler. I should be full of energy. But there's some things, it just kind of drains you. So even though you're young and you should be vigorous, if you're putting your eyes and hearts and hope on the wrong place, you can be drained. Your vitality can be, I mean, you know, Psalms 32 talks about how if you do not confess your sins, acknowledge your sin before God, your vitality will be drained away like a summer heat. So there's things, even though you're young, that can drain out the vitality, drain out the vigor. And power is just dissipating. But here, it's talking about something more than the physical strength. It's talking about somehow connecting with God that energizes us, empowers us, rejuvenates us, bring back a youthful vigor. Also says in Psalms 103. To the point, if we do this, your strength will be renewed. You will be like mounting up with wings like eagles. You know, wings of eagles are really strong. One of their sukos, they carry them up. And they will run and not grow tired. And they will walk and not grow weary. And so this is, physical strength. If you sleep well, you could get physically rejuvenated. But somehow, spiritually, when you're not rejuvenated, connecting with God, your spiritual strength, spiritual vitality can drain away. How do we do that? How do we connect with God? Is by waiting on the Lord. Just another way to say, those who hope in the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not grow faint. So just the short context is, in shorter context, not the whole chapter, but 27 says, why do you say, O Jacob, and assert, O Israel, why my way is hidden from the Lord, and justice due me escapes the notice of my God? So, you know, these Jacob, Israel, they were kind of feeling like, why does not God see my problem, my life situation? Why is justice not coming for me? You know, that could happen in life. And this may happen in 2021. I know that Albert and Jen had their set in 2020, you know. Justice, right? And there could be some of that 2021. And sometimes you might think, why is not God, I don't feel like God is watching over me. Why is not God involving himself in my life and my situation? And why do I feel unjustly treated or there's injustice in my life? And why is not God doing anything about it? Oh, it's in this context right here. And then verse 20 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not become weary or tire, nor slumber. Another place. Don't you know? God everlasting, creator, maker of heaven and earth, he does not become weary or tire, or he does not slumber. He sees you. God is God who sees. He understands what's going on. And if there's injustice going on, God is going to take care of it in his time, in his way. So in the meantime, you know, don't lose hope. Don't think God is not watching. Don't think God is not working to bring justice in our life and around us. What we just need to focus on is waiting on the Lord, hoping in the Lord to do what he will do. But in the meantime, we need to trust in the Lord. When you trust, that's when his strength kind of, you know, pours into our lives. It's like this outlet right here. You know, if this computer, oh, wait a minute, the computer has a battery. If this projector is not plugged in to the outlet, it cannot experience power to project this. So when the projector is plugged in, it's like the projector is hoping in the socket, the Lord. So hoping in the Lord is like being plugged into God, where his power, strength, renewal, vitality, vigor will return. Amen? So this is what I hope for you, that you would hope the most excellent hope. So don't worry about whether you have hope or not in other things. You know, you don't need to worry about any other hope. You just need to be concerned about, am I hoping in the Lord? And if you're not doing that, you need to continue to hope in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. God will take care of it. Not being hopeless. Not taking our eyes off of the Lord. Amen? Secondly, may you intimately know God and Christ's excellence. Seeing that his divine power has granted us everything pertaining to life and godliness. He has given us the divine power, granting everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. So, actually, Peter, even at the beginning, talks about knowing, right? Well, that's in the first page, right? Yeah, grace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and the Lord Jesus. So Peter is already blessing in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied in you through the knowledge of God. Then he says, God has also given you divine power that you need for everything regarding life and living godly. How? Through the knowledge of him. Through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory, but knowledge of him who is excellent. Excellent. So I hope it'd be your pursuit this year to know God and Christ's excellence. Outstanding character of God and Christ. You know, I told you that whatever you do in life, You know what's the most noble purpose? When you come to church, what's the most noble purpose? To worship God, that's good. Next is to know God. When you go to work, Jesse, when you work at home, talking with these people in England, you know, what is the most noble purpose in your work? To worship God and know God. Jeremy and Ed, when you went out to missions, what is the most noble purpose? Worship God. Bring the worship to people. and that you should know God personally. You know, somebody said, people's life problem is somehow always connected with their lack of knowledge of God. Because of their lack of, they do not know God, there's all kinds of problem. And in fact, whatever you're struggling with life right now is probably connected to some lack of conviction in the knowledge of God. Either you don't know God, or you're not convicted about that aspect of God. But if you know God and rest in who He is, there is rest, there is peace, there is confidence that God is working, God is doing things. So there's a person who knows God, was confident in God, is settled. They're calm. They're secure. They're rested. Their trust and the faith is in God. And in order to know God and Christ's excellence intimately, you know, we were training for 3 days in prayer this before the 31st, 29, 30, and 31st, and I came up with an acronym, P-R-A-Y. That stands for pray. Anyway, my P-R-A, and then Y, my acronym expression for Y was yada, yada, yada. Yada, yada, yada. You know what the word yada means? It means the most intimate knowing relationship. In Hebrews, Adam yada God. No, Adam yada Eve. That's like referring to physical relationship. But then we are called to yada Yahweh. We are called to intimately know. And so that word in Greek is epinosis. Gnosis, epinosis, experiential knowing. So in order to intimately know and God and Christ's excellence, we need to yearn for a yada relationship. Yearn for a yada relationship with the Father, yada with Christ, yada with the Holy Spirit. God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. We want to yearn for it. So Psalms 84:2, it's not here. It says, I long and yearn for the courts of the Lord. My heart and flesh cry out for the living God. So usually what happens is that people who have tasted God does this more. If you have not tasted God, then you don't have that yearning as much. So if you haven't tasted God, ask Jesus, Lord, save me. Whatever is blocking my view of God, would you remove that from me so I can experientially know God? And when you experience God more, you're going to yearn for God more. To the point where if you are not in fellowship with God, your body aches. Your body, even physical body, cries out, I need to hope in the Lord. I need God. I need to spend time with God. And you feel that even in the body if you are away, if you're away. Psalms 136 says, I yearn for the Lord more than watchmen do the morning. Yes, more than the watchmen do the morning. You know how if you're in a fortress. Fortress, you know, and you're a watchman, and you're a night watchman. You know, you're wanting some sleep here, so you're watching, staying awake, trying to stay awake, watching for the enemy, because your responsibility really impacts all the people inside the fortress. So definitely, you don't want to fall asleep and then bring disaster to your people. But still, you're tired, you're sleepy, and watchman is longing for the morning so that he can get some relief. And so that when the morning comes, the sun comes up, and so everything's bright, so less of a possibility of attack. So there's an anxiety, both because of tiredness, but also because of fear that in darkness there be enemies attack. So I guess the watchman really longs for the morning. But this psalmist wanted to intimately know God, fellowship with God. He said, I yearn for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. So I hope that's the kind of yearning heart that we would have to know God, the Father's excellent and the Son. Amen? Thirdly, first was may you rest in his most excellent hope, hoping in the Lord. Second is may you intimately know God and Christ's excellent. Thirdly, may you proclaim the excellencies of him. That's in 1 Peter 2, 9, and 10. Do we have that? Okay. So let's read this together. Ready? Get set, go. Okay, well, this passage is right after Peter talks about we being built as a temple of God with Jesus as the cornerstone. And we're a living stone as well. We're a stone that's alive, spiritually alive, not a dead stone. Living stone with Jesus as the cornerstone. We're being built up as a temple, holy temple of God. So there's an identity about who we are as a church. We're a holy temple of God. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and God's spirit lives in you? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Was it 3? What is it? Is that right? 5:7? No, 3:16. Okay, my first guess was correct. Now, these are some other identities Peter is affirming to the church. Okay, now this is kind of actually an image of the Jewish Old Testament identity, but it's now being given to the church. So together with the Jewish people and the Gentile, how he removed the enmity between them, they brought them to be one. He brought them to be one. Christ brought them to be one. So we are such and such, and here's the identity. Who we are is a chosen race. Everybody repeat after me. We are...
We are
a chosen race. We're chosen elect people. You know, church people are people who are born again. We are God's elect, right? So we're chosen race. This is kind of like a new kingdom race, you know? And then another description is, you are a royal priesthood. Repeat after me, we are... A royal priesthood. There's a royalty and priesthood combined together. You know, David was royalty and he was also a priest. But actually, there's a prophet calling here too. But we are holy nation. So we are, repeat after me, we are. A holy nation. If we are a holy nation, we should be holy. In fact, we are holy temple of God. So this is something pretty important. Pretty important. We need to know our identity. It goes on, a people for God's own possession. Repeat after me, we are God's people. Okay, that's good enough. It goes down there, it says, once we were not his people, but we are his people. We're God's people of God, not receive mercy and receive mercy. You know, I think Gomer's children were named after this meaning. Before, they were not people, but now they're people of God. Receive mercy, not receive mercy, but receive mercy. So very clear, you know, distinction. We're no longer not God's people, but we are God's people. Not those without mercy, we have received mercy. You know what it says here? After own possession. So that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So we are not people of darkness. We are people of light. We're not his people. We're his people. We're not having received mercy, but we have received mercy. We are a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation. But it says here regarding excellencies. Because we are chosen, we are a royal priest, we're a holy nation, people belonging to God, we are called to proclaim God's excellence. Because we have been removed from kingdom of darkness as the kingdom of light. But who are people who would passionately proclaim the excellencies of God? People who've experienced being in the kingdom of darkness, but then having experienced being in kingdom of light. If that's not very clear, there's not much to proclaim, because if you're in kingdom of darkness, you can't understand God's excellence, Christ's excellence. Sin and being in darkness, it just muddles the view. We cannot enjoy, we are not in the kingdom of darkness, we do not enjoy the excellencies of Christ. And we don't have a differentiation from the darkness and the light, because we have not fully experienced the light. So that shows that we need to be thoroughly converted. We need to be born again. You can't be in the temple of God unless you're born again. You can't be part of the temple. You can't be part of chosen race. You can't be part of royal priesthood. You cannot be part of holy nation or belong to God as a people of God. Then, you know, if you don't belong there, then if you haven't experienced that born again experience. And if you have been born again by God's grace, unless you've been living in holy as a holy nation, royal priesthood, chosen race, it's going to be difficult to proclaim the excellencies of him, because we're still in darkness. That makes sense? I hope we forsake darkness. If you're born again, I hope we forsake darkness and not be okay with being in darkness, but dwell in the light. Amen? So, there's a good reason why we need to proclaim the excellency is we're called to be royal priesthood, but also a prophet. Jesus is king, priest, and prophet. We are little kings or prince, princess, royalty. We're a little priest, little prophet. So we believe in the priesthood of all believers. If you're a believer, then you belong to this category. You are to live a life as a royal priest, interceding on behalf of others, praying to God on behalf of others, and then also proclaiming to people regarding God's excellence. That's a prophet. So this is a call for anyone who's a believer, not pastors or missionaries or special people who are full-time workers. It's not their role only that they should proclaim the gospel. No, they're not the only priest and prophet. Being a Christian believer, you are automatically a chosen race, royal priesthood, holy nation, people belonging to God, and called to proclaim his excellencies and be a prophet. Does that make sense? So this is our identity. So, you know, we need to constantly remind ourselves who we are in Christ. But I think there's a lot of, just watching Christians grow, what trips Christians from maturing is their old identity. Lies of the enemy, what they used to believe about themselves, and external base, because I do this and I do that, this is who I am. But being in Christ, we have totally a new identity. And these are some of the identity that's described to us. And we need to come back to remind ourselves who we are and to enjoy that identity and to proclaim the excellencies of God. All throughout 2021. It's not like, I'll do it when I feel like it, you know. Well, you know, that's why we're free. But it's just, you will be a royal priest. You will be a royal prophet to the degree that you're enjoying His excellency. And I hope we enjoy His excellencies, remembering our identity in Christ. Amen? Fourthly, may you excel in Christ's moral excellence. Going to 1 Peter, going back from 1 to 2 Peter, back and forth. 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. It says, okay, let's read it together. Ready? Get set, go.
For by these He has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by us.
So, and also, it says in 1 Peter 2, 11 and 12. Is that what it says? Yeah. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against our soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, unbelievers. Keep your behavior excellent, like Jesus is excellent, God is excellent. Keep your behavior excellent. So in this context, you know, being a person who has excellence is having a behavior of excellence, abstaining from fleshly lust, the worldly lust. And not only in 1 Peter, Peter reiterates it in 2 Peter, by these we have been granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them may become partakers of the divine nature. So whatever these two things is described above, this is for the purpose of becoming partakers of the divine nature, becoming like Christ. And on the other side, escape the corruption in the world due to evil desire. Because if we remain corrupted in the world, even as believers, we become powerless. We forget our identity. We stop proclaiming His excellence. So we're called to excel in Christ's moral excellence because we are. But He also gave us the resources to do it. You know, 2 Peter 2, 3 and 4. He has given us divine power pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of God, who called us by His glory and excellence. He has also granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. So by them, we become partakers of the divine nature. So how do we become partakers of the divine nature, Christ's nature, escaping the corruption in the world due to evil desire? We need to know God, the knowledge of God, experiential knowledge. We need to experience God and know His excellence more. And then He gave us precious and magnificent promises to hold on to and believe, to be empowered to gain victory over sin, over the world. So I encourage you to pursue knowing God, knowing Christ, experiential relationship, intimate knowing of God, yearning for God. I hope we grow in that. But God already gave us so many awesome promises to claim, stand on, to overcome sin, overcome corruption in the world due to evil desire. We know a basic five assurance verses. 1 Corinthians 10:13. What is it? Ready. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. And you know, I believe this myself. But I tell this to anyone who says, but no, you don't know me. No, my hurts of the past is just too big. No, my circumstances is beyond anyone. But it says no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. So he did, whatever you are experiencing, a hardship, trouble, relationship, is something God allowed because you can handle it. You can overcome. For that purpose, he provided a way out and a strength to stand up under it. Do you believe in this promise? Do you believe that there is no temptation God will give you that you cannot overcome with God? God's open doors and the power that you have in Christ. So just even simply believing in this promise should strengthen your resolve and your thinking, wrong thinking, cast out your wrong thinking and to take on the right thinking that this is overcomable. We could be overcomers. Just like Revelation says, if you overcome, we can overcome whatever comes our way to 2021 and even the rest of your life. If you believe in just even this one simple verse, you can overcome, especially husband and wives, even life ahead. Things are great now, but you guys could experience challenges in the future. But never ever say, this is too tough. I can't make it. That is Satan talking. But God's promise says, he allowed this, and you can stand up under it. Amen? So, let us continue in our more excellence. Second to last, or is that? Oh, not second to last. Okay, I'm going to go really quickly. May you be excellent as he is excellent in all things. May you be excellent as he is excellent. You know, there's a verse like, you know, right there it says, but like the Holy One who calls you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy because I am holy. You know, the word holy is being set apart from the world. There's a similar excellent kind of a meaning to being set apart, you know, outstanding. Yeah. Well, just like this command, be holy because God is holy, be excellent because Christ is holy. Christ is excellent. I think that's fair. We can say that. We should be excellent because Jesus is excellent. Right? So, just a little story in Mark 7:37, it says, Jesus did all things well. They were utterly astonished, saying, he has done all things well. He made even the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. That's what he did. Let's go to Mark 7. Mark 7:37. Let's see what's before. A couple of things happened before here. So the deaf and the mute was healed. Yep, that's one pericope. Took him aside himself and put his finger into his ear, spit, touched his mouth or tongue, looked to heaven with a deep sigh. Ephphatha. Ephphatha, is that right? Be open. And the impediments of the tongue was removed, and his ears were open. And so then it says, wow, people utterly astonished. He has done all things well. He made even the deaf to hear and mute to hear. So it's more like he made everything work well. You know, if you're blind, is that working well? If you can't speak, is that working well? That's not working well. That's not excellent. But he made it excellent. Back to normal. But before this, even the Syrophoenician daughter, right? Syrophoenician. Syrophoenician daughter came and asked Jesus to come and to remove the unclean spirit from her daughter. And then she fell at his feet. Now the woman was a Gentile. Phoenician woman? Syrophoenician woman, there you go, of Syrophoenician race. She kept asking and cast the demon out of her daughter, and he was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first, for it's not good to take food from the children's bread, throw to the dogs. Oh my goodness. This is like Jesus saying, it's not good to take the bread from the children and throw it to the dogs, referring to the Syrophoenician woman. Wow, isn't that kind of mean? Granted that that's how they viewed Gentiles. They viewed Gentiles as dogs. But how would you like to be called dogs by a Jew? That's not too cool. These Jewish people, they call us dogs. Who do they think they are, you know? There could have been a lot of pride involved, even an offense, calling us dog. How good are you, you know? Or are you high and mighty? You know, they could have been, I mean, definitely not happy about the way Jewish people considers them dogs. But it's interesting how Jesus calls this Syrophoenician woman, it's not good to throw bread to dogs. It seems very offensive, but I think Jesus administered just what she needed. It's like when the young rich ruler came and said, I obeyed all the Ten Commandments. How can I enter the kingdom of God? Jesus said, well, sell everything you have and then follow me. You may have externally, seemingly have done the Ten Commandments, but your idolatry is money. Sell everything and follow Jesus. So actually that's from Jesus. This is what I learned. And when it comes to discipling people, and I see some one or two big things that holds them back from really growing in Jesus, I just say, you need to sell everything and follow Jesus, man. I see that area in your life, you need to sell that, follow Jesus. Sometimes people think that's kind of harsh. I've been told that, Pastor, man, that's kind of harsh. In fact, people were mad and they left and they still hate me. But I, you know, the thing is, I rather speak the truth towards their salvation than just cover it up. So Jesus here not only told the young rich ruler, sell everything and follow Jesus, which is a hard teaching, hard talk, but here she, to her, Jesus said, dog, can't give to dog. My guess is, perhaps she struggled with being called dog. She struggled with, you know, her worth, identity, dog. I hate the Jews. But somehow, in her desire, trusting that Jesus can do something, because she saw that demons were cast out. And she wanted Jesus to heal her daughter. But when Jesus called her dog, She could have responded with her old pride. Forget you, Jesus. I don't want your healing. You know, you call me dog, and that's the thing that I hate the most. Her pride could have come out and refused Christ. But she's had such a humble response. You know, what was her response here? It says, yes, Lord, even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. Wow, what a humble comeback. She could have been proud, but she came back humbly. She passed the test. And God will do this in our lives throughout 2021. He's going to point to the very area that is keeping us from experiencing His miracle, His power to make all things well. He wants to make our life well, but we need to be willing to let Him do it by letting Him convict us of our struggle with the name dog or with wealth that we're holding on to, or any pride that we're holding on to. So God wants to make everybody well. You know, that's shalom. May you have peace in the spirit, soul, and body. He wants to do that. I'm pretty sure He's been trying to do that 2020. I'm not sure how you responded. I'm pretty sure He's going to do it 2021. He's going to bring sovereign circumstances where He's going to challenge the very area He wants you to humble yourself, or obey, or to follow, whatever He wants us to do. We need to pass those tests so that He would help us to be well. And be excellent as He's excellent. I just said this because in order to be excellent, you need to be healed and be well. You need to experience the excellent work in your life so you can be excellent for God. So there's a certain amount of healing that we need to experience from God. So having been healed, empowered by God, because the verse is, His divine power has given us everything pertaining to life godliness. So there's a Holy Spirit power that is at stake. If we let God, Jesus, work in us by humbling ourselves, and the Holy Spirit power will help us to be excellent. You follow it? And so indeed that we can be excellent in all our areas. Like I said, I'm part of that group of people who needs perhaps more healing or rejuvenation of my conviction as I used to have when I was younger. I need the Holy Spirit to change me, to be reconvicted of the importance of reflecting Christ, being excellent. I don't guarantee it, but I'm going to try, guys, to come to Jesus asking for His divine, I have a divine power. I will believe that and try to live it out. Amen? Sixth is, may you apply all diligence in excellence. May you apply all diligence and excellence. And that comes from 1 Peter 5. It lists of many things that we need to add. It says, but for this very reason of the divine power given to us by His knowledge of God and the promises of God, therefore, knowing that, apply all diligence. So there's our human part. God has done His part. There is our human part, believing in what God did, who God is, and what, you know, promises He gave, and the examples that He set. We need to then believe it and apply it diligently in our life. To your faith, apply moral excellence, right? In order to grow more excellent, you need to believe verse 3 and 4 and apply all diligence. And that has a relation to being wholehearted. We're trying to be hardened in our prayer through the 3 days. Applying all diligence. And that is related to Doing it with all heart. Love God with what? All your heart, mind, and soul. There's this, all of your heart is a call as well. So in Colossians 3:23 says, whatever you do, do it wholeheartedly as to the Lord rather than for men or even for yourself. Knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. So it's also giving you a good, bigger picture. You're serving the Lord. And the reward will be coming from Him. You're serving the Lord and the reward is coming for Him. So work wholeheartedly for God and not for men. So there's wholeheartedness, applying all diligence to moral excellence, knowledge, and it goes on. So even let's be excellent in being wholehearted. So we're going to be needing some maintenance here in the center. I'm going to have to give some people responsibility as to upkeeping of this area, upkeeping of that area. And so if I give you this, you know, hopefully you'll not be thinking, oh, Pastor Min's going to watch over me. No, he gave me this responsibility. He's going to watch if this is going to be done. I hope you don't do anything just for Pastor Min. That's totally not the power driving motivation. You're serving the Lord. When you get a delegation, you just need to say, God gave me that delegation through Pastor Min, but I'm serving the Lord. And for the Lord, I want to be wholehearted and excellent. Reflect Christ's excellence. He did everything well. I want to do everything well. Does that make sense? Now, let me tell you, our ministry, because of my lack of teaching and exemplifying, this standard of excellence is not too much in existence. But typically, Navigator ministries abroad, they're pretty excellent. Their upkeeping of everything is very, very excellent. Yeah, I'm a little more excellent when I live with people. If I live by myself, I'm just a mess. So, but the standard of excellence is really promoted, even in my denomination here in, Nasong denomination, Holiness Evangelical. When the pastors get together, they have a spirit of excellence too. I'm the kind of the Asian American kind of like just roughing it. But even cults, not that we want to follow cults, some of these cults have they do have certain character excellence that they pursue, maybe for the wrong reason. But Jesus is excellent. He's worthy of our excellence, whole heart in serving the Lord, following the Lord, participating. You know, that's why when I came back from Korea, I was so like a wholehearted person, and then there was a pastor who was assistant pastor for my dad, right? And when he was preaching, and I'm up there in the choir section, and when he's preaching, I got my notebook out, and I'm just kind of staring at him, because I'm focused, I'm writing notes down, and then later on he mentioned, he said, I'm pretty good at note taking, but you are massive. So, Korean Navs are just like very committed, focused when they're listening to messages. Right, guys? You've been to Korea? You know that? Their just spirit of excellence is great. So, it's not, if you do that for external purpose, it's just worthless. We don't want to be looking excellent because we want to look excellent. But we want to be excellent because Jesus is excellent. And apply all diligence to it. So guys, how can you grow in your own life is whatever is given to you, never do it just for the human person who assigned you. Whatever you're assigned or whatever you are doing, remember you're serving the Lord. Do it for Jesus. And do it wholeheartedly for Jesus to imitate Christ's excellence, and you will continue to grow. Your character will grow. Your just attitude, posture will grow. You grow in character, just excellence in the work. Amen? Finally, may God be most glorified through your excellence in 2011. So it's all for God's glory, right? In His glory and excellence, He called us. By His glory, He called us. For His glory, He called us. By His glory and for His glory. Through the knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and excellence. Whether then you eat or drink, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. So anything goes. If you're going to eat, eat thankfully. Oh, this is rotten. Oh my goodness, this is bad. I remember in Ulubuchi, we were eating, went to Uyghur food, and then we ordered it, and we did a kind of a local specialty, and this guy from UCLA, as soon as he saw this local dish, he said, ugh. And there was a Uyghur people all around the table. Of course, I rebuked him. But I was like, what are you doing? You need to appreciate whatever the food, and just, yeah, anyway, some people, that's not a problem, you know. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of God as the water covers the earth. So He wants us to know Him more as an excellent God. And when we apply all diligence to these moral excellence, we grow in the knowledge of God as well. 2 Peter 1, after that, all, you know, apply all diligence to all these character, and it will prevent you from lacking the knowledge of Christ. So when you live out the quality, that's when you will know God. And when we know God, we're glorifying God, and that's what God purposed on earth, that the whole world will be filled with the glory of God, with the knowledge of the glory of God. Amen? So, this is what I hope for you. What's the first one? Let's say it together. Ready? Get set, go. Second one. Third one. Fourth one. Fifth one. Sixth. Seventh. Amen. May God bless you. God, we thank you so much for this first week of the year 2021 and desiring to take after your excellence, Lord. As you called us, we've been predestined to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. We do desire to be conformed to your excellence. Of course, Lord, we won't be perfect, but would you help us as a church together pursue excellence, promoting excellence, but living out excellence as a testimony, that we would challenge each other, not by words, but by action. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.